That's great. Please take a seat. And thank you to those of you that just helped us act out the Bible story. Can we give them a round of applause? They were excellent. Light bulbs are made in big factories by very, very clever machines. I've got no idea how, but I know there must be, because they'd be really difficult to make at home by yourself. It'd be a really tricky thing to do. What I'm going to talk about is the old-style light bulbs. I know they've all changed in the last few years, but if you were going to make one yourself, you would have to get a really, really thin piece of wire and coil it incredibly tightly and wrap it round. And then you'd have to blow a really fine bubble of glass. It would have to be perfect, because otherwise, if it had any faults in it, as soon as it got hot, it would shatter. It would have to be really carefully made. And then you'd have to put the wire inside the glass, and you'd have to pump all the air out and probably replace it with another gas that isn't air, because otherwise, as soon as it got hot, the wire would burst into flames and the whole thing would fall apart. And then you'd need to seal it up so the air couldn't get back inside. It'd be a really difficult thing to make by yourself. One of the first people that ever made a light bulb was a man called Thomas Edison. And he didn't have a clever machine. He had to make it by hand. And it was too hard for him to do by himself, so he had a whole team of people working with him. And they worked in a cellar in his house as they were trying to create one of the first light bulbs that was ever made. And the story is told that it took them an entire day and night just to create one light bulb. And a team of them slaved away in the cellar of the house, working all day and working all night, until finally they had created a bulb and it was time to test it. And Thomas Edison gave the bulb to the youngest member of the team to take upstairs, who was quite a young boy. It was back in the days when you didn't stay at school for quite so long. It was quite a young boy. And he was exhausted, but he took the light bulb in his hand and he went and walked up the steps out of the cellar. And you can probably guess what happened next. In his tiredness, he got to the top step of the cellar and he tripped and he dropped the light bulb and it shattered into a million pieces on the floor. And the team all looked at him and started work again. And they worked for another day. And they worked for another night, creating one of the second ever light bulbs made. And at the end of another day and another night, when they were absolutely exhausted and at the end of their tethers, they created another light bulb. And Thomas Edison took the second light bulb they'd made and he gave it to the same young boy and said, "Take it upstairs." You would probably have expected something really different to happen at that point. I'd have expected him to say to the boy, "You know what? You've blown it. The next time you hold a light bulb in your hands is when you can buy a box of a dozen from B&Q. Somebody else is going to do this job for me. You have completely blown your chance." But Thomas Edison chose not to hold what he'd done wrong against him, and he gave the boy another chance. He forgave that boy, just like God forgives each one of us. And of course, that was the point of the story that Jesus told to Peter when he asked that question, and that we just had acted out for us so well. Who was the king in the story really meant to be? You know, the king that Alan played. Who was that really meant to be? Anyone got any ideas? Hands up. Or shout it out, that's fine. God. That the king was really meant to be a bit like God. So if the king was a bit like God, who was that first servant meant to be? The one that the king eventually let off? Any ideas? Us, thank you. And so if that first servant was us, who was the second servant meant to be? Pardon?
Baby.
Well, maybe baby, but it could be anyone else? The person, great answer, the person next to us. Anybody else that gets up our nose? Anybody else that offends us? Anybody else that upsets us? Anybody else that hurts us in some way? And you know, when Jesus told this story, he was actually quite funny. When Jesus originally told the story, that the second servant owed the first servant 100 denarii. Now, 100 denarii is about probably the loose change that you've got in your pocket. It's about the equivalent of a pound or two. It's kind of just a bit of loose change, a few coins. The first servant owed the king 10,000 talents in the original story. Now, a talent in coins would be a bag of coins that you could just about lift. And so 10,000 talents, if that man was going to repay his debt to the king, he would have needed a queue of people carrying bags of coins, 10,000 people long, if he was going to repay his debt to the king. What he owed the king was huge. When I stand before God, by rights, what he should say is, "Sorry, Paul, you have absolutely blown it. You've absolutely blown it. You've done things you shouldn't have done. You've said things that you shouldn't have said. You've hurt people. You've been selfish. You've let me down millions of times." That's what he should say. But he doesn't. He treats me as though I've never messed up, as though I've never told a lie, as though I've never cheated in a game, as though I've never been self-centered. I'm like the first servant. If all the things I've done wrong were put into bags, I'd need a queue of 10,000 people to carry all the bags that I would need to say sorry to God for. But God chooses not to hold those things against me, because Jesus, when he died, he took every single one of those things in all of those bags. He took them all away so that I could be forgiven. And then other people hurt and offend me. Other people hurt and offend us. Our school friends say things to us that aren't very kind. People in church treat us badly. Folk at work push us around or tell lies about us, or one of our friends treats us as though we weren't very important. And somewhere inside, we say, "I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back for that. I'm going to get you back by treating you as badly as you treated me. I'm going to get you back by telling other people just what you're really like every time your name's mentioned. I'm going to get you back by thinking angry thoughts about you at every opportunity. I'm going to get you back." And the point of Jesus' story was really simple. God has forgiven me and he's forgiven you 10,000 bags full of stuff. 10,000 bags full. How can we not forgive someone else the pocket full of stuff that they've done wrong to us? That was his point. That was what he was saying in that story, which sounds simple, doesn't it? And we put it like that, it sounds really simple. But being real, it's not that simple sometimes. Sometimes it's really hard to forgive somebody. Sometimes it's really hard to let go of that thing that they said or that thing that they did, particularly if they don't say sorry. Deciding not ever to speak badly about that person can be a really difficult thing to do. But the great thing is that God never asks us to do something difficult without also helping us to do that difficult thing. And so what we're going to have some time to do over the next few minutes is to ask God for his help to do that difficult thing. We're going to spend a few minutes taking a bit of time to respond and to ask God for his help in doing that difficult thing and forgiving someone. Because I suspect that every single one of us has someone, maybe lots of people, that we can think of that has hurt us or hurt our feelings or done something that's upset us or made us unhappy. And forgiving those people, it's not saying that the things that they did was okay. That's not what forgiveness means. It's not saying it was all right that you did that. Actually, it's saying it was all wrong that you did that. But I'm going to choose to forgive you anyway. Forgiving someone is, somebody said it earlier, I can't remember who said it, it's deciding not to get them back. It's letting go of the desire to get them back. And so I'm going to pray, and then after I've prayed, I'm going to explain how we're going to ask God to help us to do that. Father God, every single one of us gets hurt sometimes. Every single one of us gets upset sometimes. Every single one of us gets offended sometimes. And it can be really hard for us to let go of those things. But you have forgiven us 10,000 bags full of stuff that we've done that's wrong. And you ask us, because of that, to be willing to let go of those things that other people have said or done, or the ways they've treated us. And Father, we know that that's sometimes straightforward, but sometimes it's really hard. And we want to ask that you'd speak to us now, and that you would come and help us now, as we have a bit of time to talk to you about the people we want to forgive. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put one of these at the front of each section of seats, and I'm going to ask you to take one each and pass them around. You're going to have a little tablet, and they're nothing harmful. They're vitamin C tablets, but if you take one each, please don't put them in your mouth. They won't do you any harm, but they're effervescent, so your head will probably explode. Take hold of the tablet. And as you look at it, just think and ask God. If nobody comes to mind, wonderful. But if nobody comes to mind at all, ask God if there is anybody. Think about somebody that you found it difficult to forgive. Something that's been said, something that's been done, something that's happened that you know has been difficult to let go of. And imagine that that tablet is the thing that's been said or done, the thing that's difficult to get past. It may be this morning that you feel ready to say to God, I want to forgive that person. Please help me to do that. And if that's the case, there are jugs of water all around the room, and we're also going to walk around with one or two if you're not able to stand up and you'd like to do this. And you can just drop your tablet into one of the jugs of water, and you can watch it disappear as it bubbles into the water. And as you watch it, use that as a way of asking God to take away the desire to get back at that person. It may be, and I don't want to trivialize this, we could be talking about some really big, difficult things. It may be that you know you're not ready to let that go just yet. In which case, I'm going to suggest that you put that tablet in your pocket or your bag and take it home and use it as a prayer reminder. And use it as a prompt to keep saying to God, would you help me to get to the point that I can forgive that thing? And keep it until the day comes, because this is the way God works. That day will come. If it's not today and if it's not next week, that day will come, particularly if you keep asking God about it. Keep it until that day comes. And when that day comes, drop it into some water and let it go. So we're going to have a few minutes. There's going to be some quiet background music. There's jugs. There's one, two, three. Three across the front, there's one over at the side there by the communion table, there's four across the back, and I'm probably going to grab one of them and come round for anyone that doesn't want to leave their seats but would like to drop it into water. But we're going to take a few minutes for us to talk to God, and if there's something that you want to forgive someone for and you want to say, today's the day, God, please help me to do that, drop it into water and use that as a prayer as it bubbles away.